Good morning, I'm Ashley Rush, in for Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Tuesday, August 4th. The costs of extreme heat, from finances to health. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. Starting this month, a new law limits how much landlords can raise rent. In San Diego County, rent increases are now capped at 8.2%. That's down from 8.8%. According to the state, the rent cap applies to most housing that's more than 15 years old. Under the California Tenant Protection Act, rents are capped at 5% plus the local change in the cost of living. In San Diego, that math comes out to 8.2%. UC San Diego is cutting ties with a program that allowed campus police to work with Border Patrol. That's according to Cal Matters. The program in question is called Operation Stone Garden. It's a multi-million dollar grant that pays for local police to help federal agencies with border security. Cal Matters reporting from earlier this year showed that UCSD police had been using the grant to patrol parts of the coastline near campus. That led to months of protests by students and faculty. CalMatters has since discovered internal emails from a campus leader revealing plans to cut ties with the program moving forward. Over the weekend, some San Diego attractions were closed because of record-breaking temperatures. This week will be a little cooler, but it will still be hot. The county's inland areas will be in the mid-80s to 90s this week. The Parks Department is closing three county parks this month in an effort to keep residents safe from the heat. That's El Capitan Preserve near Lakeside, Hellhole Canyon Preserve in Valley Center, and Mount Gower Preserve in Ramona. You can learn more about the park closures and get safety tips at sdparks.org. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need. Heat waves are getting longer and more intense because of climate change. Reporter Jacob Ayer says the costs of hot weather are adding up.
San Diegans are experiencing more dangerously hot days than we used to. That brings a real impact on health and finance. Tom Coringham is an economist with Scripps Institution of Oceanography. He says the largest impacts of extreme heat are increased emergency services and healthcare visits due to heat illness.
We see more days above certain thresholds each year. We see longer duration of heat waves. We see warmer nighttime temperatures, which is really important for the health impacts. If the temperatures are hot at night or humid at night, there's less time for the body to recover.
He says just having air conditioning alone isn't enough, as a lot of people choose to not use it during heat events to save money. Extreme heat is now the leading cause of weather-related deaths in the U.S., according to the National Weather Service. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
The legal trouble that's threatened San Diego's Midway Rising project may end up changing state law. In this week's Why It Matters segment, Voice of San Diego's Scott Lewis explains how.
State Senator Akilah Weber Pearson is pushing SB 958. The bill would stop people from suing to halt a project if it doesn't adequately study the impact of taller buildings.
This judicial ruling can set bad precedent and inhibit future development throughout the state, as requiring speculative and hypothetical analysis is not reasonably feasible or practical for lead agencies.
The law won't clear the way totally for Midway Rising. They plan to build a new sports arena and more than 4,000 units of housing. They need to finish the lease of the land with the city and the environmental impact report. When they finish the required environmental impact report and the city certifies it, people can sue, and some have threatened to. But if this law passes, they won't be able to fight over the impacts of the actual height of the building, just the other impacts like traffic and direct wildlife outcomes. And that would make it slightly easier for bigger projects to go forward across the state. For Voice of San Diego, I'm Scott Lewis, and that's Why It Matters.
After months of public outcry in the Imperial Valley, a number of cities are hitting the brakes on data centers. Reporter Corey Suzuki says there's a growing patchwork of pauses and even potential bans taking shape across the region.
Calipatria can feel like a sleepy place. It's a small town at the rural north end of the Imperial Valley. One post office, one hotel, even City Hall is tiny, a small square building. The city council chambers have just three rows of chairs.
All right, we'll now move on to item two of action items. The appointment of two community members for our
The council's meetings can feel a little sleepy too. Tonight, some of the biggest items on the agenda are some special district appointments and plans for a new community center with a splash pad.
For the splash pad, that'll be recycled water, correct? So we hope the kids won't drink the splash pad water.
But then the evening turns to another topic, data centers.
I'm really frightened for this county.
That's Idell Burden. She's from out of town, a resident from the neighboring city of Imperial, about 20 miles south. It's a little hard to hear, but she says the growing interest in data center development scares her.
We're getting assaulted. Every time you turn around, there's a proposal for another data center.
There's been a lot of this kind of talk in the Valley lately, including in Calipatria. But tonight, city officials are here to talk about action, about banning data centers within city limits. Calipatria Mayor Michael Llewellyn.
I believe a ban is the only way forward for data centers to not show up in Imperial Valley.
The concern in the Valley started back in November, when the city of Imperial warned that a massive data center complex was being planned next to a residential neighborhood. Since then, there have been rumblings of others. Data centers are the giant computing warehouses that power programs like ChatGPT. AI companies are pitching the facilities as new sources of tax revenue and construction work, and some long-term jobs. But many residents worry about the energy data centers need, about water use and air pollution, about research that shows that these facilities can heat up their surroundings by up to 16 degrees. Now, a growing number of local officials in the Imperial Valley are responding.
County Council, no data center project, past or present, would be moving forward under this 10-month moratorium, correct?
That's Imperial County Supervisor Martha Cardenas Singh. Last month, county supervisors voted to pass a moratorium, or emergency pause, on data center development through the middle of next year. County Council Jeffrey Holbrook.
No final permits or approvals will be issued under this moratorium.
Another agency, the Imperial Irrigation District, is considering a special energy contract for data centers and other large power users. IID is the regional energy and water utility. That contract would put data centers first in line to have their power cut when there's a surge in demand. At least three other cities in the region have also talked about pausing data center development. The city of Calexico, the second largest city in Imperial County, is considering a permanent ban, too.
Okay.
All right.
So then I want a motion to ban data centers in Calexico.
I second.
Developers and labor unions have pushed back forcefully against those restrictions. One company has already sued the county over its moratorium. Back at City Hall in Calipatria, Idell Burden isn't the only person from out of town. Here's Sean Ellis, a union organizer based in San Diego County.
The median income in this community right now is like $38,000 a year. With a data center, you bring construction jobs, you bring maintenance jobs, you bring the whole lot. So banning it just takes you out of the game.
After public comments, the council decides. It isn't unanimous. One council member says they shouldn't be afraid of technology. Another worries that the city could be sued like the county. But in the end, they vote to start putting together a data center ban.
Yeah, and so I kind of want to shake it.
After the meeting, Mayor Llewellyn steps outside. The sun has already set. The sky is turning from orange to blue. It's true that Calipatria is a poor community. Many residents also have health issues like asthma, including Llewellyn and his little brother. A lot of people here feel like they've been left out of countywide conversations for a long time. But Llewellyn thinks data centers could be the end of his community.
It pains me to see my family members waking up gasping for air in the middle of the night, and to think that ambient temperatures can increase 17 degrees while our pollution gets worse. That's unacceptable.
This time, Llewellyn says Calipatria isn't getting left out of the conversation. This time, he says, they're leading the fight. In Calipatria, Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
Meanwhile, in North San Diego County, General Atomics got a financial boost from the state to help bring fusion energy one step closer to reality. Reporter Alexander Wynn says it'll be a boom for the local economy.
Fusion energy involves fusing two light atoms to create a heavier one. In the process, it releases energy. That's different than the current nuclear energy, which splits heavier atoms to generate energy. It also creates radioactive waste. But before fusion nuclear plants become a reality, parts of those reactors need to be tested. That's where Poway's General Atomics come in. It recently got a $20 million tax credit to build a blanket component testing facility. Brian Grierson is the director of Fusion Energy Technologies at GA. He says it's called a blanket because it surrounds the fusion core and
absorbs the energy from the fusion reaction and converts that energy into steam turbines, heat, and electricity.
The facility is expected to bring in more than 40,000 jobs to San Diego and more than $125 billion to California in the next decade. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
The San Diego Humane Society is bursting at the seams, especially when it comes to dogs. Reporter John Carroll says they're making it easier for people to adopt during the month of August.
Those barking dogs you hear are in temporary kennels in a warehouse the San Diego Humane Society usually reserves for storing supplies. The overcrowding situation got significantly worse late last week when two people surrendered more than 50 Yorkies and Huskies they could no longer care for. Humane Society President and CEO Dr. Gary Weitzman says that scenario is becoming more common.
These are two cases that we hope won't happen, but they seem to be happening more and more.
Throughout the month of August, the Humane Society is making adoption more accessible for everyone. Adoption fees are 50% off, except for horses. And on Saturday the 29th, all fees are waived, except for the horses. Weitzman says for everyone who wants the companionship of an animal, now is the time to act.
Come to a rescue, a shelter, or San Diego Humane Society first before you go anywhere else for a pet.
For more information on adoption, just go to sdhumane.org/adopt. John Carroll, KPBS News.
The Killer Tomatoes are back. The homegrown franchise made its San Diego debut in 1978. Arts reporter Beth Accomando says the ferocious fruit is about to invade theaters again.
The Attack of the Killer Tomatoes was hailed as one of the worst movies of all time, which it wore as a badge of honor. The cult film spawned three sequels, including one with George Clooney. Although the Killer Tomatoes have not posed a threat since 1992, they were seen at Comic-Con, where Costa Dillon revealed some startling information.
People say I'm the creator of the Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, but that's not entirely accurate. I'm more the revealer of the Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. I found out that tomatoes were dangerous. People did not believe me. The first film came out, people laughed at it because the government made people think it was a comedy.
This plan appeared to have worked. Hardly anyone saw the movie. The public has no recollection of the dramatic events of 1978, and the uprising was stomped out.
But just when you thought it was safe, the Killer Tomatoes are returning to theaters in an all-new film. Documentary?
And I can, once again, sound the alarm that organic intelligence is how Killer Tomatoes will rule the world if we don't stop them. And yes, I do expect a Nobel Peace Prize for it.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, Organic Intelligence will begin splattering Ultrastar Mission Valley cinemas this Friday. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Ashley Rush, in for Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.